May the words which I speak and the thoughts which God gives in our hearts bring us to God and help us live our lives. Amen. Well, we're still in the Easter season. We still have this lovely cross. Some of you here may have helped make it on Easter Day when we were thinking of how Jesus rose. But there are quite a lot of stories which carry on after that Easter Day story, and this morning we heard one of them. And they tell us a bit more about what it was like to meet Jesus and how the disciples were gradually learning what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. But it was a long story. It is difficult to concentrate on long stories. So, as well as doing a little bit of a revision of the story, I brought along a few things which might just help remind us of what happened in the story, or if we gently weren't listening very hard, start from the beginning. And I put them in here in a bag. Not very exciting, but it would be quite good if anyone who would like to help find the things would like to come up and see what we've got here. Because, of course, if you don't come up, I will come and find you, but this is an invitation, not a threat. You're welcome to, choir members are welcome to come, and if you're sitting up there, you're welcome to come and see what's in here. Because some of them are quite little, and it will be quite hard to see. I will show you, but, right. Yeah, it's good to have some helpers here. Anyone else want to come? We might get there in, it's all right, don't have to. Right, Gabriel, do you want to see what the first, I'll take that one out. What's the first thing in there? Right. A boat. Were you listening enough? Do you think, what's this boat doing? Great, yeah, well, there's more than two things. So the first thing is a boat. I can only bring a little boat. Because the story starts with evening and Peter and the disciples going out on the Sea of Galilee. You see, they come up back home to Galilee from Jerusalem after Jesus had risen because they didn't know what to do. How are you a disciple of someone who pops in and out through closed doors? How do you follow them if you don't know where you're going to see them? So they thought, we'll go fishing. And they went out at night. And they fished all night. So who's going to look and see what else we've got in here? Someone else have a look? Take out what you can find. You see the cockerel? Yeah. Brilliant. And you can look for the next thing, Kitty. What is it? A cockerel. Now, this is symbolic cockerel. I'm not convinced there was a cockerel actually in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. But what do you know what a cockerel means? When do we talk about hearing a cock crow? Anyone? In the morning. Absolutely right. First thing in the morning. It's a sign that dawn is breaking, that it's going to be day. They had fished all night. And this boat is still empty. No fish. And then, because it was light, they could just begin to see someone on the shore. And he said, put your net the other side of the boat. He said, we've been fishing all night. Come on. So they did. Okay, Kitty, can you pull out? There's a net there. And what have you got here? A net. And what is in this net? As we might guess, fish. Well, yes, I meant to leave. Gabriel has noticed there's still a fish there. This is on purpose, actually. We'll get there. Now, I don't know if anyone was listening. How many fish? I have not put the right number of fish in here. Does anyone know how many fish were in here, according to John? 153. I have no idea why there were 153 fish. People have written masses about why. But 153 is a lot of fish, and I think a lot is what matters, certainly in this morning. Peter says, that must be Jesus. The only one who can do this is Jesus. And he got dressed and jumped into... This is odd. However, he put his clothes on and swam to the shore. And the others came along in the boat, dragging this very heavy, nearly breaking net with them. And when they got to the shore, who's going to get the next thing out? Come on, then. Well, we'll take both out. This is meant to be a fire. I did actually see a brazier in the vestry, but I thought it had some real charcoal in it, and I thought, I don't actually want to bring charcoal and then ask somebody to take charcoal, you know. So this is meant to be a fire. And yes, there is a fish on it, because you noticed before that there was a fish. Because, okay, so what's in here? What's the next thing? Someone else? And I put it in a plastic bag to keep it safe. What have we got here?
Bread.
So yes, there was Jesus with a nice little charcoal fire, already cooking a fish. And he said, bring your other fish and come and have some bread. And they sat down and had breakfast. And I think sitting down with Jesus, having breakfast on the beach in dawn would be quite a good... Have you ever had breakfast out or picnics by beaches? Fish and chips by the beach? Is this not one of the best things one can ever have?
No.
You haven't?
I know.
There's a request here. But we haven't quite finished, because after that, Peter wasn't feeling as happy as you might have expected. You'd think he'd be happy sitting there with Jesus. But the feeling we get from the rest of the story, although it doesn't say, is that he was a bit miserable. And there are two clues here, which if you were in church on Palm Sunday or Good Friday, you might notice. And I might be looking at the adults here. Have you got any clues? Two things here that Peter might link with a time when he let Jesus... Well done. Cockerel is one, not the fish. I don't know if you knew or was guessed, but it is a perfectly accurate guess. And if you knew it... The bread will have reminded them of all the times they ate with Jesus, but the other thing is the charcoal fire. Because the night before Jesus died, Peter followed him to the high priest's house for the trial and sat there. And if you remember, that's when he said he didn't know Jesus. Because this is what happened. I can find my... Oh, thank you. And I think I might need people to hold these. So just one on each side, and I've got something else to be held in a minute. Thank you. So... You can have the question, Kitty. You had this, hold it, turn it round, hold it up when I tell you. Because he was there, and sitting by the fire, this is before Jesus died, and someone came along and asked a question, stick question up. You know this man, don't you? And Peter said, oh no, never heard of him. Then someone else came up and said, I'm sure you know Jesus, stick the question up. And Peter said, I definitely don't know him. And a third person came up. I'm sure you know Jesus. No. Hold that a minute. And at that moment, the cock crew. And Peter remembered Jesus said, you will deny me. So I think Peter was, when he saw Jesus and the fire and the cockerel and maybe the bread, remembered that. And Jesus took him away and gave him and asked him three questions. Do you want to hold this one? You can still have the question. And do you love me? And so put that down and hold, you hold that up. And Peter said, yes, I love you. And Jesus said again, question, do you love me? Yes, I love you. And a third time, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. A bit fed up, he was asked three times. Why do you think he was asked three times? Just in case, to make absolutely sure, and maybe because he'd said no three times, he didn't know him three times, to balance it out. Thank you. Right, I haven't got anything else in the bag. We'll hang on to the heart. Thank you very much. You can just sit down for a minute, or you can stand up for a minute. I don't mind. Each time Peter said he loved him, Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. I think he wasn't talking about going farming. He was talking about looking after people. And so I think Peter learnt some important things from that breakfast and that conversation. Any clues or thoughts about what those important things might have been? I've thought of some ideas, but sometimes people have ideas too. Any thoughts? The love is one of the important bits. Peter learned that whatever he had done, Jesus loved him and forgave him. And I think the story is collected because we all need to know that. Whatever we do, Jesus will still love us and will forgive us. And then I think Peter began learning a little bit about being a disciple, because Jesus ended up by saying, follow me. And the disciples hadn't really known, what does it mean to follow the risen Jesus? Jesus gave a clue. Well, it's, you know, feeding my sheep, my lambs. It's looking after people, caring for them, loving them, just like I did. Follow me and love and care for other people. Following Jesus, being a disciple, isn't getting everything right all the time. None of us are perfect. No disciples are perfect. But it is about knowing God and Jesus loves us, sharing that love, and sharing that love with other people. Follow me. That's what was said to Jesus, and it's actually said to us.